Welcome guys to another episode of IPL on Pod, the show of insights, analysis and predictions. Main hu aapka dost and host Ujwal. I wanted to say that for a long time. Joining me today are Shantanu and Amit. So welcome guys.
Hey. Thanks.
Good to be back.
Yeah. So there's only one more game left in IPL 2020 and that's the big final, Mumbai Indians versus Delhi Capitals. Mumbai Indians, the table toppers, they defeated Delhi Capitals in qualifier one and reached the final. Delhi Capitals had to then wait for their qualifier two opponent. Sunrisers Hyderabad defeated Royal Challengers Bangalore in the eliminator, got into the qualifier two and lost by 17 runs to Delhi Capitals. So Delhi Capitals are in the final and for the first time in the history of IPL, in their history of 13 seasons, they have reached the final. We will start off by discussing the Sunday's game, which was the qualifier to Delhi Capitals versus Sunrisers Hyderabad, and then we will preview the big final. Let me start, as I said, with the Delhi Capitals versus Sunrisers game. And I want to point out before we get into any analysis that cricket really is a very funny game. It was actually against Sunrisers Hyderabad in the league stage. That DC was once chasing 220 for victory and they promoted Stoinis and Hetmyer to number third and fourth position ahead of Shreyas Iyer and Rishabh Pant. And they ended up losing by 88 runs. And then today they made all those changes. Stoinis came into open and Hetmyer came into bat at number four. And see, today it has worked completely in their favor. I mean, changed their fortune. They got 190. I mean, they were struggling to get runs from the middle order, lower order. But today they got runs from the middle order. They got from the top order and a very strong 190 target, which SRH just couldn't manage to chase down. So, Chandra, I will start with you. First thing first, with the toss, actually, considering that the match was being played at Abu Dhabi, where we have seen last six matches, I think, if I'm not wrong, the team batting second had won. So from the word go, I mean, from the toss, the intent was there and DC were ready for it with their changes, the toss. Shreyas Iyer won and took the decision to bat first. I mean, they had come prepared for this, weren't they, ready for it?
I guess so, because and I think Shreyas Iyer took a leaf out of Rohit Sharma's playbook, because that is what happened when these two teams played the first qualifier. And Rohit, I think, batted first, and he said at the toss that he runs on the board matter in knockout matches or important matches. So I guess he was not way off the mark. They just took toss out of the equation. They scored 201. So Shreyas Iyer did the same, I guess. He batted first. And well, in all important matches, history tells us when you put runs on the board, and in T20 matches, anything above 175, 180 in knockout matches, and this was a proper knockout. The previous one I was talking about was still a qualifier one. This was a knockout, and to put runs on the board, I think that was a very smart thing for them to do. And secondly, I think this is something that you have been pointing out for a couple of episodes now, to promote Stoinis up the order, because he has got most of his big bash runs in top three and most of them while opening. So finally, better sense prevailed and they dropped Prithvi Shaw. I would have loved to see them drop Prithvi Shaw a couple of matches earlier, to be honest, because neither his form nor his fitness nor and from a distance, not even his mental presence was there. And you know, we have seen him at domestic level. We have seen him in test matches. Such a free-flowing, good, clean striker. Just struggling to get a run, just struggling to get the ball up the square. So that was not a pretty sight. And all credit to, I guess, Iyer and Ponting to make all the right changes. And good total on the board. And Stoinis had a dream night. And he has had a couple of good matches on the trot now. It's as if, in the same vein in which he started this IPL. He started with good whirlwind cameos down the order, started taking wickets and then slightly stagnated. And now towards the back end, he's scoring again. He's taking wickets again. So good signs for Delhi and it makes for a cracking final.
Yeah, I'm so happy, Shantanu, that you pointed out that I have been pointing it out for like a couple of episodes. Yeah. That Stoinis made a lot of runs, 715 in particular, actually playing in the BBL last season. So it was really a very good decision. I mean, Amit, if you can maybe elaborate a little more on the changes and how it impacted DC's performance today. I mean, Stoinis playing there and Rahane not actually opening. I mean, one would have expected if Shaw is not there, obviously Rahane would open, considering he also made runs for them recently also. So that is also there. Hetmyer also getting ahead of Appan. I mean, overall, I mean, if you can just take us through how DC, what the changes that they made and how it clicked for them, what made it click for them.
Well, I mean, it was a gamble sending Stoinis up the order, and that too, like at the opener slot alongside Dhawan. And yeah, I mean, obviously it clicked. That's why we are talking how you know this proved to be a boon for DC. Otherwise, had Stoinis not clicked, and if that man at mid on had caught on to the chance early on in the innings, we could have actually been pointing at the Stoinis move as something that probably was one of the key factors in DC's knockout. So yeah, I mean, ultimately Stoinis is someone who can, I mean, in the post-match presentation, he said that he took a couple of deliveries to get set, to get a good gauge of the pitch, and then he just brought his A game forward. And that's what he's, you know, that's how he showed himself, you know, as an ever reliable option with both with bat as well as with the ball in the season. And yeah, and I think that partnership with Dhawan at the start was crucial because in the last few games, obviously, you saw that Prithvi Shaw wasn't doing well. Ajinkya Rahane on a couple of occasions did get some runs on board, especially, I believe, in the win over RCB as well. But again, when it comes to a knockout match like this, you can't rely on hot and cold form alone. So I guess they had full faith in Stoinis' ability to not only, you know, put the opposition attack under pressure from the word go, but also complement Dhawan. And I believe that Stoinis' presence at the crease allowed Dhawan to bat more freely. And you saw the result in that. I mean, he scored some 70-odd runs. The pair managed to collect some, put up an opening partnership of somewhere around 80. And at the 10-over mark, they were 100 for one. So I think that pretty much laid the foundation for them to put up a big total. And again, Shreyas Iyer opting to bat first. The idea was to essentially do what Mumbai Indians did the other day, put up a big total on board. If you remember the last time these two sides faced off, SRH and DC, SRH set them some 220 to win. And DC just crumbled under pressure. Marcus Stoinis batting at the top order or not, it didn't matter in the end. Because you lose one wicket or two early, and that's what happened in the Mumbai Indians game as well. They lost three wickets up front without scoring a run, and the game was over right there. But again, these guys managed to reach 100 for one at the end of 10 overs. And then you had the Hetmyer contribution, which was vital as well. Because for the next five overs, I believe they scored some 30-35-odd runs. And another wicket or two at that stage could have made the difference. Another wicket or two, and then DC could have settled for a score in the range of 150-160. So Hetmyer's cameo also proved crucial in them finally getting to 189 for three. I mean, Sandeep and Natarajan bowled really well in those last two overs. And initially, I thought that DC was set for a total in of around 205, and maybe they were 10 runs short. Could this be a difference? But in the end, those three wickets up front in the power play for Delhi Capitals proved to be the winner.
Yes, absolutely. But Shantanu, if I can, I mean, talking a little more, going a little more deep into how DC played today, I mean, because they are now in the final, we must look at that. If there was one thing where DC looked a little weak today, it was that they got a great start. But then once they got past that 10-over mark, their run rate did definitely slow down. It could be because obviously Rashid Khan was there, but it did drop. And then they, even though gave a target of 190, it could probably would have been at least 200 also. So do you think that is something which can be a cause of concern, or is just that there was a Rashid Khan or there was an Natarajan and shouldn't really be a problem for DC when they get into the final?
Well, I think against Mumbai, these little chinks. I mean, Mumbai is a team that plays like a machine. They know how to exploit these kind of minor chinks. Had it been any other team apart from Mumbai, probably it wouldn't have mattered that much. But since they'll be taking on Mumbai, I think they would have noticed all these changes. They would have seen how Shreyas Iyer, after that, his 88 that he scored of around 30-35 balls, he has really not scored at a fair clip. And even today, his strike rate was about 100-105 to be precise. So, and then they have Rishabh Pant, who is struggling. He faced three balls today and he didn't look convincing in any one of those balls. And I guess you guys would remember the shot that he was attempting against one of these Yorkers. He fell over and I don't know what he was trying to do. So with that kind of and Mumbai are too smart a team to ignore all these things. So they know that even if they get a decent start, they can actually choke them in the middle overs. And so you correctly pointed out, it could be the Rashid factor also. But, you know, Mumbai are not short of good middle overs bowlers either. I mean, Bumrah can bowl any time. And I don't know about Bolt's injury, but, you know, they're a fairly strong bowling unit. So that, and while we are on it, this is a classic David versus Goliath matchup. But if you ask me now, or perhaps if you ask me any observer, they would put their money on Mumbai at this stage, despite whatever Delhi has done tonight. And the reason is the sheer depth of Mumbai's playing 11. Look at their bench strength, look at the playing 11. I mean, they're just too good. And I would love to see a new winner this time. But, you know, the hat mire clicked after so long today. And I don't know what to expect of this team. If the top three fire, it's a cliched thing to do, to say, you know, if your top order fires, you score big. But for Delhi, it has not fired, you know, often enough. We have the example of their last five matches where top order barely got any runs. But I will still have my hopes with Dhawan, because he's a big match player. He has this tendency to score important runs in important matches. So yeah, let's see. But yes, the point that you mentioned about them slowing down, that is a very fair point, I think. And with some tight bowling, they'd like to, exploit that weakness and try to put Shreyas Iyer under more pressure in the middle overs.
Yeah, I mean, I would request you guys to hold on to your predictions. We will do that when we get into previewing the final. But here we definitely need to talk about Sunrisers Hyderabad also. I mean, what went wrong with them? Amit, 190 I think became too big a chase for them. SRH probably are a team which can chase down maybe 160, 170. Maybe they don't really have that firepower to get to 190, especially when you lose Warner early on. So maybe that is one thing they need to work upon for next season. Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. I also thought that there were a couple of injuries that happened to their some of the key players in the business end of the tournament. I mean, who knows the kind of impact that Riddhiman Zaha could have brought along, if he were fit in this game. I mean, he wasn't there, which is why Warner decided to announce he stuck to the same 11. But, the fact that SRH, in the absence of a key player or two, the fact that they find it so difficult to chase down such big totals, so it probably tells me that, yeah, maybe the top three. But again, they have Bairstow in the ranks, so whom they had to bench in the season to accommodate Holder to the side. So, for me personally, I don't think it's so much about, they have quality players. I just think that it was a bad day for them. Some of the key players got injured in the business end. Vijay Shankar wasn't available towards the end. The kind of impact that he brought in the middle order. Of course, you had Abdul Samad stepping up today with an entertaining cameo. But he couldn't deliver in the end. So it's not so much, for me personally, it's not so much about the loopholes in the squad, more than, you know, this particular team not clicking on the business end, because the same side managed to win five games on the bounce to actually make it all the way to the second qualifier. The same team was given no backing whatsoever at one stage when they were actually hovering around the bottom of the table alongside Chennai Super Kings. We all thought that maybe Kings XI Punjab will have a chance. We all thought that Rajasthan Royals will probably make it. There were other teams like KKR were on the verge, but from out of nowhere, the same side won 5 on the trot. So, I mean, if any picks to be made in the next auction, probably, I don't know, like an overseas bowler maybe. I don't know what your picks would be for that, because the auction wouldn't be too far away and the next season is happening in like in 5 months' time, 5-6 months' time.
Yeah, overseas bowlers, obviously, I think is an area, I mean, pace department where maybe they can obviously look into. But Shantanu, talking about SRH, they are a perfect reply to some of the critics which talk about how some of the players are not great because they didn't win their team a match. I mean, SRH showed that cricket and T20, especially in T20, it is still very much... even if it is a shorter format where one or two performance can swing the balance completely, still very much a format or a sport where it is still a team game. As Warner said, nobody gave them a chance, but they have reached qualified too. I mean, and SRH probably embodies the thing that if your players consistently pitch in together, you don't really need those one standout individual performance to win. I mean, they click together as a unit. I mean, many players for them clicking together in a match regularly, and that is how they won. It is not about one guy making 80 or 100 or one guy taking 4 wickets or 3 wickets regularly. So it's something which probably is a lesson also for other teams in T20 also. I mean, and you can always look at making a team with many good players instead of just, let's say, looking to buy in one superstar.
That's right. And they have quite a few, utility players. And it speaks to me a lot about the team culture also, maybe. And starts with the coach, Trevor Bellairs, who's quite understated in his own right. He has won an IPL, he has won the World Cup, but when you talk about superstar coaches, he is perhaps not the first name that comes to your mind. So and that is the mold in which the team is built. Of course, guys like Williamson, Holder, and David Warner, they're all stars of they're all greats in their own right. But barring Warner, there's no real brand value, the star value that you normally associate with teams like CSK, RCB, MI, for instance. So yes, I think that is a factor. And then we must not forget the players they have lost the course of this IPL. Mitch Marsh going out early, Bhuvneshwar Kumar, Vijay Shankar. So for them to reach this far, and like I said in one of those previous podcasts, when they play well, they are a very difficult team to beat. And they did play well. They had initial hiccups. The first half of the tournament didn't go their way. It takes a lot of character to bounce back from that situation. And that is the reason that I quite appreciate Kings XI Punjab's campaign also, because of the situation both these teams were in. And then to give themselves a chance in the latter half of the tournament is never easy. And SRH did that. Kings XI did that. SRH did that a bit more. And deservedly in the top four. And frankly, before this match, I was backing SRH to beat Delhi on current form. But credit to Delhi, they did well tonight and are deserving winners. But while on SRH, I think quite a few utility players, like I said, Shahbaz Nadeem didn't have a good game, but he's one guy who's very underrated and very canny. There's Sandeep Sharma, who we don't normally talk about in the A list of Indian reserves. There's Natarajan, of course, who has carved a niche for himself with bowling Yorkers. I think he's going to Australia also as a net bowler. So Manish Pandey has been a loyal servant. Kane Williamson. This is a team who kept out Johnny Bairstow to accommodate Kane Williamson and vice versa. In the initial phases, Williamson was out and Bairstow was playing. So, and we didn't hear anything about team dynamics taking ahead because of this. Players come with their own egos. But credit to Warner and all these guys who have taken this all very maturely. A guy like Jason Holder sitting out. Agreed, he came, he joined late, he had to fulfill his quarantine and everything. But then look at the impact he made straight away. He was holidaying and then he came back and started taking wickets, scoring runs as if he was never away. A guy like Abdul Samad, the youngster from Kashmir, he just comes in, he had a few you know, off on games, and tonight a 16-ball 33, that was not enough, but yes, he showed the spark. So, and of course, then there's Rashid Khan in the middle, who everybody knows his backstory, but then for him to do whatever he has done in this tournament, ball overs after overs, matches after matches, not conceding anything at all, and picking wickets at the same time, while knowing that the batsmen are not going to take chances against him. So this is a very, very good team, and I'm particularly happy that a guy like Priyam Garg is in this setup. You know, when a youngster looks at this kind of an environment, spending time with guys like Williamson, spending time with people like David Warner, I'm sure he will grow and he will evolve as an individual and as a cricketer. So overall, quite happy with the performance. And even tonight, I don't think that they really had a very bad game. It's just that 189 in a knockout match. Vridhiman Saha, unfortunately for them, got injured. Again, a very loyal servant of the game. Again, a very understated cricketer. So like you said, this is not a team of flashy superstars. These are all utility workers who make up this team. And when these kind of teams click, you generally feel happy for them.
Yeah. All right. Time to talk about the big final, Mumbai Indians versus Delhi Capitals. Mumbai ne 4 title already jeet rakha hai, to hume pata hai ki wo kitni tagdi team hai. Table topper bhi rahe hai, apne pehle hi qualifier mein jeet kar final pahunch gaye hai. Delhi Capitals apna pehla final khelenge. Is season mein already 3 baar Mumbai Indians se haar chuke hai. So as Shantanu described, he was talking about the previous game, but as he described, the final is going to be a David versus Goliath kind of a competition. But kyunki humne already DC ke bare mein thoda baat kar liya hai, kyunki unke qualified 2 ke bare mein baat kar rahe the, I will continue talking about DC only, and then I will get on to Mumbai Indians and the predictions. Let me just add that the match will be played in Dubai. The final will be played in the Dubai. The ground has seen both teams batting first and batting second win their matches. So it has a mixed record that way. Let's talk about Delhi Capitals, and let's continue with Delhi Amit. So Amit, what I want to know is that if I can pinpoint few areas where DC can improve for the final. So Ashwin opened the bowling and has been opening for them on a couple of occasions. Do you think it's a strategy that they need to change if they are going to play against Mumbai Indians, considering Mumbai Indians really have a very strong batting lineup, and Ashwin opening maybe would allow them to start on a good note as it did, let's say, for Sunrisers today? Or do you think with De Kock there, it's probably a good move. They should stick there with Ashwin and not with Rabada or Nottingham.
Well, in today's game, I think Ashwin was there, but I think it was the Pacers who actually put them in the front. I mean, Rabada, he bowled like a jaffa for delivery. And you also had that magical over from Stoinis to collect 2 wickets inside 1 over that essentially kind of made it all virtually impossible for Sunrisers to catch on. So, Ashwin bowling in the power play is always a handy option, but I still get the feeling that if there's someone who might be a bit of a threat to Rohit Sharma and Quinton de Kock up front in the game tomorrow, I still feel bad because Rabada is slowly starting to rediscover his touch. So there was this phase where the first 7 games, Rabada and Nokia were on fire. They were breathing fire. They were bowling those 150 kilometer per hour deliveries on a consistent basis. Rabada was on top of the points table. He had the purple cap for the longest time. And then there came the slowdown where in the next 4 games, these two were carted all over the park, including in the last game between Mumbai and Delhi, which was the first qualifier. So him rediscovering form and Stoinis' ability, his ability to change his pace and those slower deliveries every now and then. So I think for me personally, that'll be the bigger challenge. Ashwin has been great with stifling the flow fronts in the middle overs from what I've seen so far, including in the last game. He was the star among the Delhi bowlers the way he dried up the runs, and then, you know, the likes of De Kock and all those guys, Karan Pollard, they had to go for the glory shots, couldn't connect, and then eventually got caught near the boundary. So that's probably the kind of game plan that I see what might work in Delhi's favor in the big final. But again, talking about the toss, I personally believe that, the scoreboard pressure will always be a factor, like Shantanu pointed out a while ago. I mean, you get a total beyond 180, it automatically starts, the opposition is automatically on the back foot as soon as they walk out to open the innings. So, I mean, if you talk about the toss, I think batting first will be the option, but Mumbai again are the kind of side with the kind of bowling attack that they have up front, that they, even if they need to field first, they can run through the top order early on, and Bolt and Bumrah can cause some serious problems for them if you have to look at it that way.
Yeah, I will come to the toss factor a little later, but Shantanu, to you also, so you see Ashwin opening the bowling against Mumbai Indians, or do you think it will be a smarter thing to open the bowling with Rabada and Naughty? And another thing, they played three spinners against Sunrisers Hyderabad. Wo bhi, I think, thoda jyada hai. Teen spinner aap Mumbai Indians ke saath, I think, khelaoge, to wo fir aapko 200 ka target to minimum denge hi. To I think, wahan par bhi unko ek pacer lane ki zarurat padegi.
I think so. To start off with Ashwin, I think that should be, I would not rule out that option, because he got Rohit in the first over, I think, in the previous match. And again, Quinton De Kock opening the left-hander against an off-spinner, so that matchup also works. And also the other reason is, with Hardik and this guy, Pollard coming in, these guys feast on off-spin. And they actually feast on any bowling, but yeah, more so on off-spin. So you really can't, in the middle overs, you just can't hand over the momentum to them. And we know, Pollard's weaknesses a slight weakness against short ball. So you'd want your quicker bowlers to have one or two overs to have a go at him towards the end, maybe try a couple of bouncers or yorkers or set him up, try to get rid of him early. So you want to have that option. So I really would not mind, them opening with Ashwin. He's a very, very crafty bowler. There are days when he gets hit, but again, he is a wicket-taking bowler who looks to bowl those attacking lengths. So, yeah, that's there. And yes, three spinners against Mumbai Indians, I don't think so. I think they'll make a few changes. I mean, these teams have played each other so many times, thrice already in this tournament. There is very little, secret. And for Mumbai, we can rest assured that they'll play more or less the same 11 that they did. So, I mean, I'll repeat the cliche, it's David versus Goliath, but I would love to see a new winner, but I don't see it happening. It doesn't look very easy, to be honest.
Yeah, Amit, give me some time. I would stick with Shantanu here for a while. I want to ask him about the toss thing, which you already discussed. So, mera aisa manna hai ki Delhi ne aaj toss jitkar batting pehle kiya, lekin ek bahut bade brave decision tha that worked for them. As Shantanu was pointing out before, maybe the thing that you put runs on the scoreboard and that takes the pressure off you clicked in their favor. And I think agar Mumbai ki baat kare, especially Mumbai itni tagdi team hai, us hisab se I think toss ek bahut bada factor ban jayega. Mumbai obviously can also chase down a target and can bat first and still score a lot and set up a big total and a target. But Shantanu, you think toss is going to be a massive factor? I mean, if they lose the toss, then maybe 50% of the game is gone. Or do you think it's a final? Those things doesn't matter on a day of a final.
No, of course they do. Toss does better. And, I think for Delhi, if Delhi are smart enough, they would see it, tonight's result from a very neutral standpoint, their team management. This is an aberration. Their recent form has been quite bad. It's not even patchy. They've been losing everything. So for them, yes, it does matter. And for Mumbai, I think Rohit was so casual at the toss in the first qualifier. He said, okay, it doesn't really matter to us. We can chase also, and we can set up a big total also. And that is what they did. So, for Mumbai, jaisa tumne bola, unke liye koi farak nahi padne wala. Even if they chase, they have enough firepower. And I remember one of the earlier interviews I did with Kapil Dev, and I think it was during the 2015 World Cup, and somebody asked him about the important matches mein India Pakistan match ke pehle tha shayad, and one of the journalists asked Rozit ka kya karna chahiye, and I remember his line. He said it with significant force, like, when you win the toss on important matches, runs on the board. And just forget the pitch, forget the conditions, runs on the board, more so in limited overs matches. So I mean, and I see fair logic in that, or that is why teams generally they win the toss and bat first on good batting surfaces. They don't really change. And thing with UAE conditions is what we have seen is dew kabhi hoti hai kabhi nahi hoti hai, and it has been very erratic that way. So you really can't go. I think CSK suffered a lot because of this. They anticipated dew in some matches when it didn't come, and in other matches they did just the opposite. And you know, they just couldn't read the conditions so well. So well, to sum it up, I feel that, you know, if you are a Delhi captain, win the toss, bat first. For Mumbai, Rohit would love to lose the toss again. I'm quite sure.
Yeah, I mean, टॉस एक्चुअली शायद मुंबई इंडियंस के लिए उतने मायने नहीं रखते हैं जितना दिल्ली के लिए. सो अगर दिल्ली टॉस जीतेगा तो मे बी हो सकता है गेम और भी ज्यादा इंटरेस्टिंग हो जाए. अमित, कमिंग बैक टू यू, मुंबई इंडियंस को क्या करना है जीतने के लिए? जस्ट स्टेडियम पहुंचना है या यू थिंक बीसी कैन गिव देम टफ कॉम्पिटिशन? एंड वेयर डू यू थिंक द मैच विल बी वॉन एंड लॉस्ट फॉर मुंबई इंडियंस?
वेल, रोहित के का जैसा बॉडी लैंग्वेज देखते पिछले बार आता टॉस, तो मुझे लगता है कि उनके हिसाब से तो मे बी इफ दे गेट टू द स्टेडियम उनके लिए उतना ही काफ़ी है. बट नहीं, आई बिलीव दैट दिल्ली कैपिटल्स सर्टनली हैव द मोमेंटम इन द फेवर राइट नाउ. आई मीन द लास्ट विक्ट्री, आई मीन दिस विक्ट्री अगेंस्ट SRH वुड हैव गिवन देम सम होप गोइंग इनटू द फाइनल, स्पेशली नाउ विथ द स्टॉइनिस एंड धवन पार्टनरशिप क्लिकिंग अप राइट एट द टॉप. And also Hetmyer being turning out to be a valuable option, क्योंकि अब देखो ना पिछले कई गेमों में you had Shreyas Iyer and Rishabh Pant जो वो ठीक से मतलब खेल ही नहीं पा रहे थे, उनका वो स्ट्राइक रेट बन नहीं रहा था, they weren't able to clear the boundaries, and thankfully for them Hetmyer was able to provide that role today. So yeah, I mean certainly this win over SRH would have given them some confidence, but as I said before, and as Shantanu has just pointed out a couple of times, they are the Goliath in this particular battle. And it's always very difficult. I mean, the kind of form that they are in, they'll be well rested by the time the team takes to the field tomorrow. They've got a nice little break. I believe the break did work in Bumrah and Bolt's favor when they were rested for the final league game. I mean, they came all guns firing in the first qualifier. And yeah, I mean, it's going to be incredibly difficult, because this is, SRH was one thing, beating the four-time champions, that too in your first appearance in the final will be another ball game altogether. And I still would put my money on Mumbai Indians lifting it for the fifth time. It'll become awfully boring if the same team keeps winning all the time. I mean, everyone would love to see an underdog finally lifted. I mean, a couple of seasons ago, I think till about last season, people were still cracking the Delhi Daredevils jokes. I mean, they were the butt of all jokes. DD and KXIP, people used to crack jokes at RCB. And all three teams dished out decent performances this season, including and especially Delhi Capitals under the new leadership and with a new bowling attack in place. So one of the first things I'd love to see is if they do win the toss and bat first, what Bolt and Bumrah's approach to Stoinis and Dhawan will be. Because, I mean, to contain these two, the way they went about business today, I mean, of course, we had Stoinis nearly getting dismissed on a single-digit score today when the catch was dropped at mid-on or catching mid-wicket. And then Dhawan was nearly got caught near the boundary as well at some point. So, but again, Mumbai Indians isn't the kind of team that will let go of such chances from the way they've performed so far this season. So, it'll come down to those fine chances throughout the game. And Mumbai definitely are the kind of side that who know how to seize those tiny opportunities, those little opportunities, however infrequently they might come.
Yeah, so I think it is no secret. I think almost everyone here on the show is expecting Mumbai Indians to win their fifth title. But Shantanu, I mean, do you think there's any area of concerns for Mumbai Indians, or they really don't have any concern right now at the moment? It's just about playing good on the day.
I think it's more about playing good on the day, and I guess it's a factor of not being complacent on the big day, which I'm certain that a team of their caliber would know. I really don't see a chink. I mean, yes, last in the qualifier we saw Rohit getting out early, but still it really didn't matter. In fact, the innings got the extra boost as it went on. There was just a very brief period of 4 or 5 overs when they were going at about 6 or 7 and over. But thereafter, Ishan Kishan and the others who followed, they just exploded. So this is a team that bats so deep, the ball so well, bold. Bumrah 0 for 3. They have done that to this team. So I was scratching my head looking for a weakness in this team, but it's very difficult. Maybe Rohit Sharma, the batsman, he has not really had a very good IPL, barring 1 or 2 knocks earlier. And his fitness has been a concern. There's still clouds hovering over his exclusion from the Australian squad. So, I mean, maybe Rohit the batsman, but apart from him, they are such a settled core. They just tried 13 or 14 players throughout this tournament. Really, I mean, I would not say that it's just a matter of them turning up, because that would be that looks like an insult to the game. But yeah, if they play decent enough, if they play to the potential, or let's say if they played the way they have been, it will take a very special effort from Delhi to beat them.
Yeah, I think it is one of the toughest jobs in the world right now to find a chink in the armor of Mumbai Indians. So that's why I'm not going to ask any one of you to make any prediction. That I think is pretty obvious who we are expecting to win. It's not necessary that we want them to win, but we are expecting them to win definitely. I mean, we would always love a new winner. But as we are not able to find a chink in the armor of Mumbai Indians, we have to turn to RCB, where we can see a lot of chinks in the armor. I mean, we already spoke about SRH, one of the playoffs team, which are now out. Now, let's talk about RCB. Their season is again over. It began with a lot of hopes. That hopes only started to look into something which will become a reality. I mean, considering how they started the tournament, they were winning matches and looked like they could possibly also finish as table toppers. Somehow, they then got into a losing streak, somehow managed to qualify for the playoffs. But then again, in that eliminator against SRH, they were very disappointing on that night. I mean, they just didn't look like a team. When they were bowling, they obviously were. They made the game a little interesting. But then Kane Williamson and Jason Holder did everything good for SRH. But their batting was especially very bad. So talking about RCB, and their faults. The first thing that I have to start off with is what Gambhir has said recently about Virat Kohli, the captain. I mean, he has been RCB captain for a long time, and Gambhir says that it's time for him to be held accountable and to leave the captaincy. And Amit, how much do you agree with Gambhir? Do you think it is time for him to leave? And if not, why?
Well, Gambhir definitely made some sensational comments there when he asked for a change in leadership. Of course, Virat Kohli's leadership qualities does have its traits, does have its positives, and you can see that on the international front, especially in the test, as far as his test leadership is concerned. But if you lead a franchise for a decade and you make it to the playoffs only about twice or thrice, so yeah, that does raise questions on your leadership abilities. Any other franchise, any other player, I don't think any other player would have lasted in this role for even 2-3 seasons, let alone like 8 seasons, like how Gambhir put it. But I mean, frankly, you and I, we don't see that happening anytime soon. I mean, he has the full support of the franchise. He has the full support of all the, I mean, Hessen, Simon Kattich, and everyone else. And Simon Kattich actually stepped out in defense of Kohli's leadership skills, saying that, he actually praised Kohli's leadership this season, saying that under his captaincy, players like Devdutt Padikkal bloomed. He's such a positive influence on the players, even till the final over of the eliminator, he kept his team fighting, and he brings about that fighting spirit in Royal Challengers performances. But Kattich is entitled to his opinion, as might be anyone else, Hessen included. But again, me personally speaking, it's the performances that ultimately dictate. It's the results that ultimately dictate. I don't think Kohli going out of this job anytime soon. But personally speaking, maybe he could, if not go for a change in leadership right away, at least start grooming the next leader and start acting as a mentor, is what I feel about the current RCB unit.
Yeah, my logic is pretty clear. I mean, as you pointed out, he has been the captain for a very long time. And if you're not able to deliver one of the traits of being a leader is that you hold yourself responsible if things don't go right. And I think that is where he probably, can do that. I mean, take the blame or not the blame, just hold yourself accountable, maybe give up the captaincy. We are not sure whether he will do anything like that or not. But Shantanu, where do you stand on that? I mean, Kohli as the captain. And also, do you think even if the franchisee wants to renew, can they really do that?
Well, first of all, I think it was, I must commend Gautam Gambhir and Sanjay Manjrekar to say what many of us unknowns have been saying all this along. It's not easy to name the Indian captain and just demand his resignation. So kudos to both these guys. Kudos to ESPN Cricinfo where they spoke all these things. Next, you asked my opinion. I think I made it very clear in the past also that I'm not really a fan of Kohli's captaincy in T20s, and I have my reasons. And on this particular issue, I think the buck must stop somewhere. I mean, you are the captain. You get all the credits, and you must be the one who should just come out and say that, okay, I failed, and nothing personal against him. But it's too soft approach from the franchisee also. But sadly, like Amit said, I really don't see it happening because of the brand value he brings to the franchisee. It's franchisee-based cricket. Everybody is there to make their buck. And, who better place than Kohli to do that for you? So at some stage, I think they must realize that, they have been the butt of jokes or, as the underperformers, this high-flying squad with guys like De Villiers, guys like Virat Kohli, Dale Steyn, keep flopping year in and year out. I think in 2016, they reached the last final on the back of those 4 centuries from Kohli. They didn't manage to win that. So, I mean, it's high time. Someone should take the responsibility. A message ought to be sent that, and what kind of leadership? If you look at the way these... I'll compare it to Virat's leadership with Rohit's because he leads MI, which is sitting at the top and are title favorites. I said that Rohit has tried just 13 players, in these 14 matches or 15 matches that the team has played. Kohli has tried, I think, 19 of the 21 players. And what it shows is, and they didn't really have, apart from Chris Morris, they didn't have a big injury concern also. So it shows your muddled thinking. It shows that you are not sure of players who are trying. It shows that you are not sure of the positions the players ought to bat. And I'm sure as we go along these discussions, we'll talk about specific points where the team has faltered. But on this particular issue of leadership, I think it is the time that he should take a hard look at his T20 leadership. And then maybe to see, leading India is a different thing from leading a franchisee team. Because you don't really have to lead guys like Rohit, guys like Bumrah. These are match winners. They are right there. They know what that needs to be done. Players like you know, Umesh Yadav, Gurkirat, Pawan Negi, Devdutt Padikkal. You have to. This is an eclectic mix of players. Like, it's there in every franchise. That is where you really have to gel the squad together and create a winning formula, invent a winning formula, and make winning a habit, which I think he has not been able to do.
Yeah, I mean, as you said, he tried out 19 out of 21 players. We have seen even for India, I mean, in the limited overs format, India trying out a lot of players. Nobody is asking him to leave the captaincy at the international stage, at least. And not that I'm trying to point out that something like that should happen. Amit, talking about this season, one of the key problems for RCB was that they didn't really have a solid middle-order batsman. I mean, I'm talking about after AB de Villiers, and AB de Villiers batted at number 4 for a number of matches. So they didn't really have a solid middle-order batsman, or to say, let's say, a finisher. Moeen Ali is a player who could have probably done that. I mean, he has a very good strike rate, I think around 160 or something like that, batting in the middle order in the shorter format of the game. So you think that is someone they can look at going forward in the next season, or could have probably also brought in and made him play more matches this season, and that could have probably made the team a much better side?
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, definitely. So the over-reliance on AB de Villiers, I was actually reading, I've been looking at RCB season. And yeah, definitely they made it to the playoffs for the first time in 4 years. And Virat Kohli had said at the start of the season that he is getting a lot of positive vibes from this squad, what he hasn't gotten since 2016. So we did see them win 7 out of their first 10 matches, make it to the playoffs. But there were always these issues that somehow, you know, they could never really plug. And definitely, yeah, as you pointed out, middle order was always an issue, ability to finish games. And the only games that they actually managed to finish off on a high and actually turn the game on its head, shift the momentum in their balance, were all ultimately games that involved an ABD miracle. Whether it's that 73-run knock of just 33 balls against KKR. You remember that blitzkrieg against Mumbai Indians earlier, the game which ended in a tie. And there were several other such games where they were able to finish on a high, take on that. Their scoring rate of somewhere close to 12.47 or something was actually the second highest among all sides. I believe Mumbai was the first during the run of one victory after another. So yeah, I mean, talking about Moeen Ali, firstly, I believe that he was quite underutilized. I mean, he wasn't really he. Never really got the kind of chances that he would have liked to showcase his skills. Played one game against the Super Kings, and then a proper nearly 2 weeks later, he's suddenly in the eliminator against Sunrisers Hyderabad, and unfortunately, he got comically run out in the free hit, and that's how his season came to a very disappointing end. Maybe if that run out hadn't happened, maybe he could have. Made up for the slow start after Virat Kohli got dismissed early on, and maybe he could have finished it on a high. And of course, they had other batsmen down the order who could score big towards the end. They had Chris Morris, unfortunately, was injured, and his absence did ultimately, dry up the runs for the Royal Challengers. And others never really got going. Shivam Dubey, he's kind of struggled. Washington Sundar. It was either de Villiers or going bust. So that was it. De Villiers, on this case also, it all came down to him and Finch. He produced a 50. He was on 56 and could have actually gotten them beyond 150 or so until he got dismissed by a pearler of a delivery from Natarajan. So middle order, yes, that will always be a big question mark over them. Opening order was somewhat better off with Padikkal around, getting those consistent runs, getting those consistent starts. But I somehow feel that he never had a settled opening partner who could properly complement him. Like Finch and Josh Philippe they did have the moment every now and then. They did have a moment or two in this tournament, but again, never really consistent enough. And finally, they decided to pull out the card of promoting Virat Kohli to the top of the order. But maybe that's a move that he could have tried early in the tournament, is what I feel. So yeah, as far as the batting lineup is concerned, there were always these issues. So I think they really need to look at the middle order as they move on to the next season. Otherwise, it'll be the same story season after season.
Yeah, I mean, the middle order definitely and the finishers' role look like a major concern for them. Mike Hessen has already spoken about how the team needs some bit of tweaking for the upcoming seasons. And the bowling probably looks much better than what it was the previous season. So that is not much of a concern here. Chandra, I just want to bring you in here for one last topic about RCB. I mean, talking about, going back to Kohli in some sense, talking about the role a leader plays in the team. I mean, we saw Padikkal flourishing under his leadership this season, scoring all those runs. But then there are other players also who I believe that if they were like given more confidence, more opportunities, probably could have fired a lot more and probably RCB would have found themselves in a better place. I mean, they managed to reach playoffs, but maybe would have taken that one step further and could have reached the final. I'm talking about Shivam Dubey. I mean, we know he's probably not Hardik Pandya, but Shivam Dubey comes in with his own potential. I mean, he has his own talent. He can get you some big hits. He can also bowl some good overs. But he also went out of the squad without any fault of his, then came back. Maybe his batting order also kept shuffling a little bit. Maybe players like that need to be given a lot more confidence. Maybe that is something that RCB would look to build a proper core, a core which is much bigger than ABD and Kohli and Yuzvendra Chahal, and maybe create an environment where they give confidence to young players so that they can perform. As you said, 19 out of 21 now, and they perform after being shown some confidence in them.
Well, the thing is, Shivam Dubey, he played 11 matches, scored 129 runs and took 4 wickets. So for him to justify his place in the 11, that's quite tough. And then Washington Sundar, he got a full run of 15 matches and scored 111 runs, took 8 wickets. So his performance, of course, is quite different from what the numbers tell. It's not the complete story. But yeah, for somebody like Shivam Dubey, I think they needed to define his role. He's still a very young cricketer. He's played for India, but is still very young in his career, and probably he needed better guidance. You know, his role needed to be defined. I was also quite amazed to see Josh Philippe making way for Aaron Finch. You know, the Australian skipper sitting out and an upstart coming in. It never looked like getting beyond 40 runs, whereas Finch is a player who can give you a 70-80 run innings. And Amit pointed out about how underutilized is Moeen Ali, and I would say is criminally underutilized. And just 3 matches for an all-purpose player, for an all-rounder who turns in and does his bit for his national team day in and day out, they might as well have opened with Moeen Ali. And you know, instead of giving Dale Steyn a few chances, they could have tried Umesh Yadav. That would have created a spot for an extra foreigner. A lot of things could have been done differently. Mohammad Siraj got 9 matches and took 11 wickets. And of those 11 wickets, there was this one match where he had the match of his life, so to say, in IPL. So you talked about grooming players. I don't see the players really having that kind of season either. It's not as if any of the players barring Padikkal has shown some great promise that Kohli would have backed them. So if you are Virat Kohli, you would be looking at guys like Quinton de Kock and Marcus Stoinis with some envy. Bangalore had these two guys, they let them go, and they're blossoming under different captains. So I'm not sure if he's really the right guy to look at to spot the talent, in a sense. So the problems don't really end there. The another problem I think that we must talk about is strike rates of their top order. And Devdutt Padikkal and Kohli struck at almost the same strike rate, around 120, and scored almost identical number of runs, 400 odd. So when two batsmen in your top three are going at that mediocre rate, I can still understand Padikkal. I mean, he starts off very well, but as innings go down, as his innings progress, his strike rates actually go down. Still a young fellow, so I wouldn't comment much on that. But for somebody like Kohli, it's sheer quality that has still had a 400 run season, but quite underwhelming. Kohli, the batsman, Kohli, the captain, I would say it is, forget about his 400 runs, the scoreboard is lying. It has been a pretty mediocre season for Kohli, the batsman also. And captaincy, I think we have discussed long enough. And the dependence on AB de Villiers, dependence on Virat Kohli, a couple of guys, this must go. And this is the only reason that they win, and this is the only reason that they lose.
Yeah, Mike Hessen and Simon Cattage have a lot of work to do. And we are not very sure what sort of auction would take place for the next season. If it is a mega auction, maybe we would see RCB making a lot of purchases also, as we have seen them doing in the past. But it's time now to talk about the Women's T20 Challenge. We have the final coming up today. Trailblazers will take on Supernovas, Spriti Mandana versus Harmanpreet Kaur. Smithali Raj's velocity is out. Trailblazers lost to Supernovas in the league match narrowly, so revenge would be on their mind in the final. Shantanu, excited for the final?
Of course. It's really looking forward to it. And I wish they had a slightly longer, longer season. It's barely a season. I mean, just a handful of matches. But I think it's time that perhaps, the organizers should look to go beyond this token service. But yeah, talking about the match specifically, I think, the last match by all accounts was a cliffhanger. So this one promises to be a more even contest than the men's final. So yeah, looking forward to it. And if you look at the squads, Harmanpreet versus Mandana is a straight shootout at Attapattu, Chamari Attapattu in the form that she has been in. Radha Yadav, Poonam Yadav, all these girls doing so well. I'm really pretty kicked about this one. How about you?
Yeah, these girls, they didn't really play any competitive cricket or let's say had any training also in a very long time. But the quality has been very good even in the two or three matches that we have seen. So yeah, that's very good from a viewer's perspective. Harmanpreet versus Spriti Mandana is a very exciting battle also. When we had some great performance also so far also with Chamari Attapattu scoring that 67 for Supernovas against Trailblazers. Sophie Eccleston took 4 wickets, I think, for Trailblazers in their victory against Velocity. We have had Ekta Bijj doing good. It's a brief tournament, but we have had some memorable performances. It would be great if BCCI launches a full-fledged Women's IPL next season. But bringing in Amit here for previewing the game, what are your thoughts? Which team enters the contest as the favorite? And both of them have good spinners. The match will be played in Sharjah, on a slow Sharjah track. How do you see the game panning out?
Well, to start off, I think it was the Women's T20 Challenge is basically the first competitive cricket for a lot of cricketers. I mean, barring England and West Indies, no other team had any competitive cricket as such since the lockdown. So a lot of them would have been quite rusty entering this tournament. But I certainly believe that wasn't the case for a couple of players. I mean, as you mentioned, Chamari Attapattu, what a blinder of a knock in the last game. So that 67 of 48 deliveries and laced with some magnificent hits over the fence, a couple of them landing near the side screen, a couple of them landing well over the boundary fence. So that was one innings. And remember, that innings came at a time when I believe Supernovas needed a victory to actually enter the final. because they had lost the opening game to Velocity, which was also, I think, the first time they had lost to this team in this competition, to Velocity, that is. The first season, it was Velocity versus Supernova, and that was a one-off game with Supernova won. Second season, also Supernova went in unbeaten. And for a change, Velocity actually managed to pull things back by winning the opening game of this year's edition. You had some lovely knocks, lovely rescue acts by Sushma Verma and Sune Luz, who forged a vital partnership to take the team home and chase down the 127-run target. But Velocity just crumbled like a deck of cards in the next game. I mean, so the planning was such that they had one game, they played the opening game against Supernovas, and the very next day they had to face Velocity in an afternoon clash. I don't know how much of a factor that played in the kind of performance that they produced. Shefali Verma got off to a bit of a start, got a 6 and a 4, but the team got bundled out for 47, and there was simply no chance for them to recover from that. So that was pretty much the end of the campaign right there. And now talking about the final, I certainly believe it'll be a very, very evenly matched contest, far more evenly matched than the men's final will be, because you've got match winners on both sides. You've got, if Supernovas have Harmanpreet Kaur, if they have Chamari Atapattu, if they have Jemima Rodrigues, who's due a big score. Incidentally, in the last couple of games, she never really looked comfortable at the crease, got out early. I believe the first game, she probably got a boundary and then got dismissed against Velocity. Second match also, she fell for a low score. And I mean, they have the match winners, and then they have the Trailblazers have Sophie Eccleston. What a brilliant spell the other afternoon against Velocity. I mean, just completely ran through the order. I mean, against a side that boasts of batters like Shefali Verma, Danny Wyatt, and a middle order mainstay like Veda Krishnamurthy, to dish out the performance like she did. And she said after the game that the pitch wasn't really turning. It was all about the variations. It was all about keeping things simple. And the Velocity batters were never comfortable against her. And my feeling is that maybe that she could be the trump card, the primary weapon for Mandhana going into this particular contest. So, yeah, that's that. Mandhana is there. So many other match winners in the Trailblazers as well. Deandra Totten, the West Indian opener, one of the best batters in the world right now. We saw how hard she can hit the ball in the chase against Velocity. I mean, it was just 48 runs, but she ended up collecting more than 50% of those runs herself in a quick-fire cameo. They have Jhulan Goswami, the senior India pacer. They have a couple of... and of course, the spin attack is always there. Sophie Eccleston's got Rajeshwari Gaikwad as a valuable backup. And if you look at the Supernovas as well, you've got Radha Yadav, as Shantanu mentioned a while ago. They've got Poonam Yadav, who's of course the primary option, India's first choice as far as the spin department's concerned. They've got Ayabonga Phaka, quality seamer from South Africa. So again, certainly will be a very evenly matched contest. Watch out for the openers from both sides. I believe there'll be a lot of fireworks coming in from Atapattu, Totten, Mandhana, as well as from the Supernovas number 3, Harmanpreet Kaur. So it should be a cracker of a final as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I mean, Supernovas won the Women's T20 Challenge in the last two seasons. So they are looking for a hat-trick of title wins. Trailblazers, as I said, would definitely have revenge on their mind, having lost their last match to Supernovas. If I can give my two cents, I think probably it would be decided whoever has a better bowling day. And I mean, Supernovas have some very good bowlers in Radha Yadav, as you said, Khaka, the pacer, Shakira, and Poonam Yadav. And Trailblazers have Sophie Eccleston, they have Dipti Sharma, they have Shalma Khatun, and Rajeshwari Gaikwad, as you pointed out. So the match is in Sharjah, where the wicket is slowing down. Although we did see a total of 146 in the previous game. So maybe it will depend on which team's spinners end up having a better day. So that's it from our side for today. We would be back after the IPL 2020 final with a complete wrap of the whole tournament, of the final, with the best performances. As always, I would just like to add that this episode and our previous episodes are available on Audio Boom, Google Podcast, Spotify. So please listen in and give us your feedbacks. Guys, thank you very much for joining in.
Always
enjoy both the finals.
Yeah, lovely chatting.
Yeah, you too.
Always a pleasure.
Yeah.